eternal rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the dawn of a new day. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you that in your own mercy, you have brought us to see the brightness of the day. In all the parts of the world, glory, honor, and majesty be unto your name. This morning, Lord, we want to enter into your word. And the entrance of your word giveth light. Shine the light into our hearts. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray that you give divine utterance to speak your word, and you give inspiration of the Almighty to give understanding to all the hearers. All we are praying for is, as we await the coming of the Lord, we will be closer with you. We walk step by step with you, and you will keep us until that bright morning day when the trump of God shall sound. This we ask for in your mercy, in that name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Once again, I want to acknowledge everybody on the platform. Pastor Yato, thank you very much for doing the needful this morning. Lady Ebu, thank you for the prayers. I recognize Sister Lunife, Sister Mary, Sister Julia, Sister Nkechi, Bra Victor, Sister Joke, Sister Rabia, my Sister Mommy Vero, Sister Rita, Bra Shedra, Sister Barak, and those of us who are house members, Sister Cynthia, Sister Saintan, Sister Princess, Sister Nedi, Sister Kadian, Sister Sose, Sister Sue, Sister Choice, Sister Eitayo, Sister Kadian, and as many as will be joining. I trust the Lord will minister his peace, giving us more inspiration as we are getting nearer to the kingdom of God. The topic is saved to do God's will. I'm saved, you are saved to do God's will. There are so many things we can talk about, but just permit these few words. And we are going to be starting by reading the book of Matthew chapter 7. From verse 13 to 29. I'll be reading that. And if you are there, I will enjoy that you follow in reading. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended those sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Praise ye the Lord. The topic is from that place where he said, but he that doeth the will of my Father, that's verse 21. And Jesus emphatically taught that carrying out the will of his heavenly Father was a condition of entering the kingdom of heaven. And the starting point is that we must be born again. We must enter through the straight gate. And the straight gate is that point of salvation. He said, emphatically stress it. And what about the straight gate? He's telling us that at all times, majority, in these days, they tell you, are you a Christian? I do attend this church. Are you a Christian? Some will say, don't talk about that Jesus, just talk about God. But the Bible said there, enter in at the straight gate. And that straight gate is Christ himself. And because it is the promise of the Father, for those who have entered in through that gate, he wants whatever we ask from the Lord, he promised to give it to us. But only few there be that are entering through that gate. Comparatively speaking, those who enter the humble gate of true repentance and deny themselves to follow Jesus sincerely endeavor to obey his commands. So, once you start from entering that gate, the Lord Jesus Christ, you have started in the will of God. And when you start sincerely and you begin to obey his commands, you earnestly seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and you persevere until the end in true faith, purity, love, not many, but few. But those few, they will now strive. In Luke, he said, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Here he just said, enter. But in Luke, he said, strive to enter in through the narrow gate. And we all know that the narrow gate is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we now come back to that verse 21. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into my kingdom, but those that dwell the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And these ones we know, we have been saved by grace. We have learned from so many Bible stories of the Lord's Son, which many of us popularly call the prodigal son. He went his own way, but he came back and he was accepted. And he said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. We've had the story of the Pharisee and the publican. They went to pray. Luke 18. 9-14, the Pharisee was beating his chest. Well, children of God, people will say today, but God knows those that are his. And that's why Jesus himself made that statement. Not all that call me Lord, Lord, will enter into my kingdom, but those who walk according to my precepts, those who dwell the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Those are the ones everyone has been prepared for. And that's why we said, it is all that road, that narrow gate, that straight way is open to those who are saved by grace. If you are not yet saved, you are not part of it. But blessed be the name of the Lord, because we have found the favor of the Lord. We have found that grace by which we have been born again. And the Lord is making it to work for us. Now, how do we know the will of God? Let's open John 17, verse 17. Pardon me, I will be opening the scriptures. It's better for me. John chapter 7, verse 17. It says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. That is, if you are going to do the will of God, then you will know whether that doctrine is of the Lord or it is not. And in 14:21, he said to us, that same John 14:21, he said to us that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And the commandment of the Lord is as if we are talking about the will of the Lord. Doing the will of the Most High God at all times in all situations. That is where we are if you are going to be entering through that straight gate. He said, John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. You can see, as we have our will, God's will too is to love us. But we must remain in God's will at all times. How do we know the will of God? We can know the will of God. Let's follow the example of Abraham. Let's look at it at Genesis 26:5. Let's see how Abraham got the will of God. Genesis 26 verse 5. How do we know the will of God? Abraham, the Bible finally called him the friend of God. But in Abraham, he said, he was giving him promises before we get to that verse 5. But we are going to look at that, those promises again. Please, we are coming back to this Genesis 26. Because Abraham obeyed my voice. Let's take notes. Abraham obeyed God's voice. Abraham kept my charge. He was able to know the will of God, hearing God's voice. And all the charges God was giving to him, don't go this way, don't do this, he was obeying it. Abraham obeyed God's commandments and his statutes and his laws. With all this, Abraham was able to know the will of God. He was obeying. He was going step by step. Moses also knew the will of God. He was obeying. He was following. And Genesis 17 verse 1 told us concerning Abraham too. Let's look at that briefly. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I'm the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. I will then make a covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. But first and foremost, the will of God is walk before me and be perfect. And that is one of the key instructions to us at this end of time. How do we know the will of God? They are scattered everywhere. In Deuteronomy, he told them, Deuteronomy 18:13, he said, be perfect. Let's look at it there too. Deuteronomy 18 verse 13. Just pardon me. says, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. You must be perfect. That's the will of God. And God has said to us in Job 8 verse 20, that will not cast away a perfect man. But the wicked man, he said he will have nothing to do. He will not cast away a perfect man. So we must walk before the Lord and be perfect. So some of the things that we need to do to know the will of God, let's hear his voice. Let's read his word. He instructs us from the word. And there's always an inspiration in the spirit of man, and the inspiration of the Almighty to give understanding. Let us hold on to God as we study the word of God, and with everything that the Lord is saying to us, so many things, the kingdom principles, even when the enemy comes in like a flood, God is ever there to deliver us. So, we must be perfect. He also told us in Matthew 5:48. Let's look at that. Matthew 5:48. Matthew 5:48 says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. In John 17:33, he prayed for us. Part of the prayers of the Lord in John 17 is still about this perfection. So the will of God is that we must be perfect. We must obey his commandments. We must do his bidding. In John 17:33, he said it again there. John 17. Oh, it's like I missed that. But I'll go to John 14:27. When we do the will of God and he's promising us perfection, he said in John 14 that he's going to give us his perfect peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So that in all of it, we walk towards perfect holiness. We flee from all filthiness. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1 told us that we should flee any act that will run contrary to the will of God in our life. 2 Corinthians 7 Please bear with me. Having therefore the promises of the Lord, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We must be perfect before the Lord. He told us that we must be perfect. And you remember when they were telling us about the citizenship of heaven? For you to be a citizen, you must have entered through that straight gate. And there are wonderful promises that are left for us. They have continued on that, those promises. One of the promises, let's look at the promises given to Abraham for following the Lord. Let's just look at few of those things. And we always sing it, Abraham's blessings are mine. Let's look at some of the blessings that the Lord, he even said it in that chapter 17, verse 1 we read. He said he promised him so many things. But let's see some of the things, and we are still beneficiary of those promises till now that the Lord gave. And he said, if you will obey me, he said, he will walk before me and be perfect. His faith was accompanied by obedience. And if you disobey God, you will not be part of these blessings. But having passed that, and you are walking in perfect obedience, some of the promises that the Lord gave to Abraham, even Isaac, Jacob, they all benefited from it. And what was the promise? He promised him his loving kindness. The Lord promised him that the Lord, his faithful presence will be with him, and he will be in continuous fellowship with them. He said, God firmly bind himself to his faithful people to be their God, and that his grace, his protection, his goodness, his blessings are given to them in love. And that is why you are able to go to Psalm 91 and say, evil on the right, evil on the left, it will not come near me, because there is a covenant promise that God has given to those who keep his will, who walk in his will. And that's why this topic is saying, we have been saved to do God's will. Abraham walked in the will of God, and he kept on doing everything. He kept on the blessings the Lord gave it to them. These blessings, it is God that initiated it. The only thing he's asking us to do is acceptance. We should accept that grace, and we should keep moving forward. Even Jesus, when he was here, he said he's here to do the will of his heavenly Father. So we too should be willing to do and remain in the will of his Father. Philippians 3:14 tells us that we should press forward in that will. Philippians 3:14. We should press forward. Let's move forward. Forward ever, backward never. We should move forward at all times with the will of God. We should be steadfast with it at all times. Not allow anything. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You all know it. In all situations of Paul, since he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, he never deviated. That is keeping doing the will of the Lord. And let us too, and we are aware we don't have the power of our own to do this will. But we should remember it is God that worketh in us. Obedient faith, trusting his presence, the Lord gives us that grace. In verse 12 of Philippians 2, he says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, let's continue to obey. Let us walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. And remember, verse 13, we have no power of our own. We depend on the Holy Spirit of our God to be able to do the will of God in total obedience. He said, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That will of God we are talking about, the same grace that saved us, the same grace that brought us to salvation, is the same grace that will help us to do the will of the Lord. And we must be ready. And one of the things we keep on doing to be able to do this will of God is that we will not cast away our confidence in the Lord. We will continually pray. We will study the word. It is from the reading of the word of God that we know what are these commandments. I cannot stress all of it. They are scattered everywhere. But the starting point, having entered through the straight gate, you want to be like Abraham, knowing, hearing his voice, keeping his commandments. Individually, he gives us instructions. And individually, he fulfills those promises as he's giving all of it. And one of the benefits of being, of walking in the perfect will of God is we will remain a citizen of heaven, partaking of all the numerous promises that have been given to Abraham, that Jesus has promised, particularly that he will take us to that eternal kingdom. Whatever we ask, the Lord will give back unto him, he will answer us. And Jesus at a point said, I do not call you servants, I now call you my friend. Jesus is our eternal friend. Jesus is ready to make us to walk until that perfect day in all situations. And we should remember, we should flee from all appearances of evil. One of the things that can take us out of the will of God, we've done something like that. Galatians 5:19-21. Everything in that scripture will not allow us to fulfill or move in the will of God. Those are the hindrances. Let's look at it again. Galatians 5. From verse 19. We call it the work of the flesh. We should flee from all these appearances of evil. He said, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've always told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And if you go through some of the other writings of Paul, he will tell you, as a child of God, you are not to be this. You are not to go through that. So, anyone that will not do the will of God will fulfill all this. And that person will lose the wonderful promises. And that's an example of such is Moses. Moses was obedient. Even when it looks impossible, once the Lord said, go ahead, he was always going ahead. Strike the rock with the rod, on your hand once, he obeyed. But with the instigation of the people, with the grumblings, with the complaints, very close to that promised land, Moses was told to speak to a rock, but instead he struck the rock, not only once, but twice. Whatever we take us out of entering the promised land, let us feel from it. Let us avoid losing our salvation grace, but rather keep the will of the Lord at all times. I want us to go through Hebrews chapter 10. There are some good instructions there about the will of God, what we should do with it, how we should walk in all reference to do the will of the Most High God. And he said in verse 23. Okay, let's start from verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You have entered through that straight gate. You have followed the Lord. You have accepted him as your Lord and Savior. You are hearing him. He said, you now have boldness and you are entering the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus. We're able to approach the mercy of God, the throne of mercy at all times. He said, by a new and living way. That's knowing the will of God, which he has concentrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Who is this high priest? The Lord Jesus Christ. Let us draw nigh with a true heart. The will of God is we must constantly draw near the Lord in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, fleeing away from every fruit of the flesh. Sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us continually be perfect before the Lord. We have no power of our own to do it, but trusting in the Lord, it will help us. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering, for it is faithful that promised. Whosoever cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. That's one of the promises. Come unto me, all ye that labor. You have the pressures of life. There are challenges. There are issues of life. Whatever they be, Jesus said, come unto me. And let us have that faith, that confident faith, that if I come unto him, he will not cast me out. Let us hold fast that profession of our hope. Don't let us, like Esau, because of the hunger of today, because of the red porridge, he could not hold it again, sold his birthright. The enemy of our soul is going around seeking for whom he may devour, seeking for whom he can destroy. But he said, now we should hold fast the form of our faith. We should we always remember he is faithful that promised. That is part of the will of God. Let us remember that the blood of Jesus Christ is ever there to cleanse us. If even for any reason we missed it occasionally, let's run back to the foot of the cross, pleading the blood of Jesus, approaching the mercy seat, but on no account must we lose to hold on to the Lord by the grace of God. And verse 24 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And that is why you see constantly praying. I mean, Pastor, I thought we said, let us pray. Let's hold on unto this promise concerning this issue. And God has been faithful on this platform. He has always been faithful in answering whatever we plead, we carry before him. He has always honored the word of God in our, all of us together praying. And you see that he believes in this power of unity and prayer. He said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love. Let us, as much as possible, allow God in our individual lives and help one another in the name of Jesus. He said, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but rather exhorting one another, so much the more as he see the day approaching. And the Lord has been faithful. He has always kept these promises for us. And whenever we call unto him, he's ever there to answer us. There is the need for us to draw near to God in prayer, in fellowship, because that is the only thing that the Lord himself will help us with. Jesus himself equates faith with earnest prayer to God. He told us in several places, men ought always to pray, not to faint. The Lord's Prayer. He gave us many wonderful promises. The Lord is my shepherd, so I can always run to him. I will not fear. I will dwell under the shadow of his power. He will not fail me. I'm very confident. Jesus is always there for me. The pronunciation, our confessions, should be such that the Lord will not fail us. The Lord will not disappoint us. He has promised he will never fail. And because we know that he will not fail us, then we will not stumble. We know the true will of God is not our own will. It is his own will that we must always do. Can I do this? Ask yourself, is it the will of God? Is it in line with the counsel of God? Will he make me to remain in God's will? Will I be able to hold to my faith, to the word of God in this crisis time? It is cloudy. I cannot find my way. I do not know what to do. But why not hold to your faith? Hold to the word of God. Whatever be it, this platform, I know several ways the Lord has brought us our attention to the experiences of Joseph. Joseph's trouble started with his own family. It was God that was giving him the dream. That was the will of God. But his own family first of all rejected him. No wonder Psalm 27, somewhere there, said, when my father or my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. The Lord will always be there for you. If they cheat you out of your work, tell it to Jesus. Don't cut corners. Don't say aught. And among the will of the Lord, he says that we should bless and not curse. So that at all times, whatever be our circumstances, we'll be able to say, I will praise the Lord, whatever it may be. I will praise the Lord, whatever it may be. I will not allow my flesh to take me over, but rather, I will wait and keep the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be obedient, trusting him. And you'll be sure that the Lord himself, as he has promised, he will do unto us. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us at all times. And I don't want to take time to go into the other side of it, because I know by the grace of God, we are following the righteousness of the Lord. We are following the will of the Lord. And the will of the Lord, we will do. In all circumstances, please hold to your faith. Hold to the word of God. Hold to the testimonies he has given you in your heart. Hold to what you have always been proclaiming. I'm a child of God. And let men see that truly you are a child of God. Please never jump out of God's will because of anxiety, fear, impatience. That was what happened to Saul. Saul could not wait for Samuel. He went to do sacrifice by himself. Who gave him that? Saul could no longer wait for God. He started going for the witch of Endor. But God unfounded him. Let us remain in the perfect will of God at all times. Let us pray at all times. Help me, Lord, to abide in your will. Help me to be obedient. That like you called Abraham your friend. I mean, 2 Chronicles 27. That was where first God testified of Abraham that is his friend. And was telling the children of Israel that because your father obeyed me, 2 Chronicles 20 verse 7, let's just look at that briefly. The Lord himself was testifying of Abraham. And then too they said it, are thou not our God? Who drive out the inhabitant of this land before thy people Israel? And gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever. So these people recognize God to have made Abraham his friend. How about me? How about you? In Isaiah 41, that same thing was quoted concerning Abraham because he had the voice of God. He knew the commandment of God. He knew God's charge. Even that we ought to always say all around. I agreed to go and sacrifice his son. All of this God counted together that this man is my friend. 41 verse 8. Isaiah was saying it here. We always quote all of it. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. But this was part of the blessings of the law given via Abraham. But thou Israel, at my servants, Jacob, who I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Are you the friend of God? Are you walking in that counsel of the Most High God? Are you keeping his will? Are you walking in his covenant? Let us always remember that God is ever there, and we must keep his statutes. We must execute his judgment. We must keep all his commandments. And that is the only way that we can be sure that whatever he has said, he will do it. He will fulfill it. He testified this too in James concerning Abraham. He said it in James chapter 2 verse 3. And ye have respect to him.
No.
Was not Abraham our father? That's now 2:21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son? Because he offered Isaac, he obeyed the Lord. He fulfilled all the counsel of the Lord. And God said, he is my friend. My brethren, true faith, holding the will of God, doing the will of God, includes the way we utter our words. He told us, among the will of God is this. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. He has told us we must be perfect. And able to bridle the whole body. So, we must remember all things. Holding on to God. Walking step by step. Don't allow the things of this world to overwhelm you. To get you angry. to disobey God, then we will be denied. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to keep these words of His promises at all times. By the grace of the Lord, that He that has furnished us into all good works will help us, and we will remain His eternal friend at all times. I want us to read Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24. Psalm 139, that the enemy will not be able to cheat us out from walking in the counsel of the Lord, that the Lord Himself will help us. He said, from 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The Bible said, Judas was a thief from the beginning. He was all the time premeditating. But whatever prompted him to go again, after keeping the pause, known unto him and to God. But let the Lord search me, let the Lord search you, that we will maintain a true heart of obedience. We will maintain a perfect heart before the Lord. We will always hear the counsel of God in our lives. We will always obey those commandments of the Lord. We will constantly remain in God's will. Let's read Psalm 148, Psalm 143, verse 8. The 139, these are the things we are going to be praying with as I'm rounding up. Psalm 143, it said, let's start from verse 7. "Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth." We are waiting for the coming of the Lord. The crisis of the ages are increasing and deepening. My spirit is failing. "Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down to the pit." I don't want to lose thy kingdom. I don't want to go away from you. But in verse 8, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me." He said Satan is running about, seeking whom he may devour. He won't devour you. He won't devour your family. He won't devour your faith. And that is why we will not keep quiet in praying. "Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will." We are saved to do your will. "Teach me, O God, to do thy will. For thou art my God." That's verse 10 of Psalm 143. "Thy spirit is good. Lead me to the land of uprightness." Verse 11. "Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off my enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant." That's the scriptures I have by the grace of God. But before we go into prayers, I have no power of my own. I depend on you, Holy Spirit. I have no power of my own. Let's sing that song. If you know it, you may join me. "I have no power of my own. I have no power of my own. I depend on you, Holy Spirit. I have no power of my own, my God. I have no power of my own, I have no power of my own. I depend on you, Holy Spirit. I have no power of my own. I have no power of my own. I have no power of my own. I depend on you, Holy Spirit. I have no power of my own.